Good morning, everybody. How you feel today? You guys look really, really good. It's good to be with you. I want to pause really quickly and just look at everybody tuning in online. I want to thank you so much for also being connected. I am blown away. Week after week, I continue to hear from people who are faithful to tune in. Many of you don't even live in the state of Florida. Some of you don't even live in the United States of America. Thank you so much for being connected. Would you give it up for everybody tuning in online? It's good to have you guys. Really, really is. Hey, last week, if you were tuning in online, you were glad because the AC was not running in this building. Today, it is on. It feels great. Come on, everybody can say, that's nice, isn't it? That's nice. Yeah, it feels really good. Hey, before I get into today's message, I have some dear friends that are here with us today, and I never call people out, ever. So if you're a first-time guest, I'll never be the guy that says, stand and tell us where you're from. That's ridiculous. We won't do that. But on the front row, joining us are some of Lauren and I's great ministry friends, Brian and Renee Lamoureux from Reverb Church. Put your hands together for them, if you would. So, if you've ever been in All Access or been around me much, one thing that you'll learn about me is that I'm very committed to being networked. I'm very committed to having my life engaged with the lives of other people, particularly in ministry. I like to have people around me that have the authority and the permission to speak into my life. Brian and Renee are some of those people, and so I'm gonna get emotional already. Like, we haven't even started. They are enjoying sabbatical right now, Brian and Renee truly are such incredible friends to us, and when I say that, that is not superficial, that is not just something I'm saying nicely because they're in our church on Sunday. It's a real, true, actual thing. I'm so thankful that you guys are on sabbatical. They just moved into a unbelievable new building out at World Golf Village. I'm telling you guys, it's one of the most beautiful church facilities I think I've ever been in. And I've been in some pretty amazing places. But I appreciate you guys and just who you are. To me, my family, our community, the collective of churches in this city, and really, I guess, this region is what it's becoming. And I just want to give you guys such honor. Thank you for being with us on Sunday. We love you guys. One more time, everybody. Brian and Renee, Reverb Church, love y'all so much. Really, truly, gosh, I could just talk the rest of the morning about them. And honestly, if Pastor Brian wasn't on sabbatical, I would have just handed him the mic. It probably would have served you better. again, thank you guys for being here. I love y'all so very much. I appreciate having you on the front row of our church. Man, what a blessing it is. So listen, if you're a part of our church, you may know that we have been in a book study that we started last Sunday. We're doing a study on the book of Judges, one of the most crazy and violent stories in all of Scripture, the book of Judges. And if any of you guys have been reading it, because I said, hey, if you want to read along, you certainly could do that. You have probably found already this is wild and crazy. It's like the Wild West. It's unbelievable. Some of the things are almost unbelievable. Like, did that actually happen? And so we're in installment number 2 of this little study. And by the way, if you're a guest, this message can completely stand alone. You won't be missing anything by not having been here last week. But I'm going to get into part number 2. Last week, though, we talked about this this incredible judge. And let me say this for context. Like, when I say judge, the book of Judges, don't think judge like a courtroom, you know, like with a gavel. That's a like a misappropriation of the context. Think more like a leader, like a warrior, somebody who would take you into battle. Think more like military command than judge. It's really a more appropriate mindset for us to have with the context of what these people actually did. And last week we looked at one of these characters in the story of Judges. We looked at Gideon. And one of the things that we recognized about Gideon is that he was full of doubt and he was full of fear. But then we saw the Spirit of God would come upon him powerfully and used him to lead Israel in one of the greatest military victories probably in all of warfare history. It was unbelievable. And what we discovered was that Gideon, even though he was a broken vessel, was mightily used by God. And if there's one thing that I want you to hear within the context of this series for the next several weeks is this: God uses broken vessels. It's who he uses. And listen, I don't understand it all the time. It doesn't make sense to me. There are times that I feel disqualified or that I'm not good enough or I don't measure up. And yet still, I'm baffled at the idea that God will use me. And I think that there are times that you and I, we will write ourselves off when God hasn't. And what I want you to hear me say today is, listen, if you consider yourself a broken vessel, you're in a good spot. Because it is, in fact, what God uses. So we're going to go talk about a different character in this story of Judges, probably a much less known character in the story, a man by the name of Jephthah. Jephthah, that's right. Listen, if you're expecting a child, that's a very available name. You choose that, put it on the birth certificate. You know, it definitely would be unique, and I know a lot of parents are going for that. We're going to talk about a character named Jephthah, and I want to look at his story. I want you, there's some things that I found in here that I really want to unpack today because I truly believe that there are some of you here today, maybe you're tuning in online, maybe you're sitting in this room, that this is going to speak to you profoundly. And so what I want to do is I just want to get out of the way, and my prayer is that the Spirit of God would use me simply as a speaker, just a voice box, that I would just communicate his heart to yours because some of you need what we are going to talk about today. Amen. Can we just start with prayer? Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning, and thank you for your word. And I pray that as we go into this incredible story, and as we look at this incredible character, Father, my prayer in the name of Jesus is that you would speak to all of our hearts, mine included. We need more of you. So we invite you, Lord God, to speak to us. We open our ears, we open our minds, we open our hearts to be receptive. Father, speak to us what you want us to hear today. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Let's go to Judges chapter 11. I'm gonna read a little bit of the story, and then I'm going to unpack some things. The Bible says in Judges 11:1, it says, "Now Jephthah of Gilead was a great warrior. He was the son of Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also had several sons, and when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. 'You will not get any of our father's inheritance,' they said, 'for you are the son of a prostitute.' So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Soon he had a band of worthless rebels following him. At about this time, the Ammonites began to wage war against Israel. And when the Ammonites attacked, the elders of Gilead sent for Jephthah in the land of Tob. And the elders said, 'Come and be our commanders. Help us fight against the Ammonites.' But Jephthah said to them, 'Aren't you the ones who hated me and drove me from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble?' 'Because we need you,' the elders replied. 'And if you lead us into battle against the Ammonites, we will make you the ruler over all of the people of Gilead.'" Interesting, I find. So they go back to the guy that they've run away, Jephthah, and they say, "Hey, we heard you're a great warrior, and we really need you right now. Would you lead us into battle?" And he's like, "Well, why should I come and help you? Come on, you guys ever thought that? Like, why should I be helping you?" And they come back to him like, "Hey, please, we'll like sweeten the pot. We'll just put you in charge. We'll make you the ruler, right? Like, we'll just put you in charge of everything if you'll just take us into battle." And then Jephthah probably reluctantly agrees, but I would imagine at the idea of having some charge, having a place, having a people, having some acceptance maybe, probably sounded too good to resist. Here's what I want to say today is this, and I think last week what we discovered is that sometimes broken vessels are broken because they're full of doubt and fear. I think that we all can understand that sometimes broken vessels are broken because they're full of sin and they have issues and problems. Come on, I think we all can resonate with that. But I think Jephthah is an incredible example of a vessel that is broken because it's wounded. And that's who I want to talk to today. Because I would imagine that there's a pretty significant percentage of people listening to this message right now that at some point in your life, maybe your entire life, for some reason, you've been the outcast. It was you that wasn't wanted. It was you that was excommunicated. It was you that never quite felt like you fit in. Maybe you felt like, "I don't understand what the problem is, but I'm not accepted here. These people don't like me." And listen, there could be a myriad of reasons. Maybe you're thought less of, or you feel outcast because your family name or heritage. Maybe it's your level of education or the lack thereof. Maybe because you're from another country or culture, it could be your age, it could be your stature or body type, the color of your skin, your gender, your work or job title, a disability or a struggle to fit into normal society. It could be your credit, your criminal record, or whatever else you may have been written off for. This message is for you. And I would imagine that for some of you, it's already beginning to resonate deeply. And you're thinking inside yourself, oh God, I hope that you speak to me because I've always been the one discredited, discounted, unwanted. Never fit in at school, never fit in around people. I don't fit in at work. Maybe there's something about you that people always seem to just push you off to the side. Maybe you feel overlooked, underappreciated, but there's something about you that you've always felt, I just don't quite measure up. This is for you today. And I want to dig into this story just a little bit, and I'm going to kind of recap some areas just for a time saver. I'll kind of tell you some things that happened in the story rather than us read it together. But there's some things that stood out to me significantly about the life of Jephthah. And the first thing is in verse 1, the Bible says that Jephthah of Gilead, he was a great warrior. And honestly, when I read that right out of the gate, and then I started to read into the story of his life and started to see the rejection that he would experience, I wondered what was his motivation to be a great warrior. Did he feel like he had to fight? Did he feel like I have to learn to defend myself because nobody else does? And maybe that's you. And maybe you're the type of person that the culture perhaps in your house or the streets that you grew up on or the place that you came from was so toxic and it was so combative all the time that in some way you became a great warrior. You became the person that was better at defending you than anybody else would. Maybe you are a master with your words because when people come at you with their attacks, you're the best at comebacks. You're sharp. Your wit is there. And that's been honed and that skill has been crafted because you have to do it, you feel like, in order to survive. I wonder what the motivation was for Jephthah. I wonder sometimes what the motivation is for us. The things that we acquire and the skills that we have, where do they come from? And why are they there? And I just wonder if for Jephthah, he became the great warrior because he had to fight because no one else would. They fought against him, so he had to learn to fight for himself. I noticed something else in verse 3 that stood out to me. The Bible says that Jephthah fled from all his brothers and all the land. And notice what else happened. The Bible says that soon he had a band of worthless rebels following him. Here's what I know. Is that sometimes when we feel rejected and outcast, we'll connect to anybody that accepts us. So good. They don't have to be a good influence. They don't have to have good habits. They don't have to have a moral compass. They don't have to have any kind of integrity. We'll just connect to them because we feel like I resonate there. We'll connect to people that don't care anything about us, and we'll connect there simply because they seem to like me. They're the only ones that don't make fun of me. They're the only ones that don't push me out. They're the only ones that'll keep me around. This is the only place I've ever felt like I belong somewhere. I'm already preaching, and I believe that the Spirit's already communicating. Because there are some of us that we have just built defense mechanisms to protect ourselves, and we've connected to people that aren't doing us any good. And even though we have a people, and even though now we have a connection, we're longing for something greater. Like, is this really me? Is this who I'm supposed to become? Are these actually my people? The Bible says that Jephthah had just found, I like that the Bible said it, not me, worthless rebels. Bad company. The Bible says walk with the wise and become wise. But the companion of fools suffers harm. It's a bad thing. So Jephthah, I've got to do a little recap here. Jephthah then, I would imagine, and if it's okay, I would like to just let my own imagination go some in the story today, because I would imagine that Jephthah probably feels a certain significance having been invited back. Like, we need you. Why? What do you need me for? Well, nobody can fight like you. Nobody can protect like you. Nobody can do what you do. We need you to come back. And I would imagine there must have been something on the inside of him that said, this is awesome. The people that cast me out are the exact people that want to invite me back. Well, what's in it for me? Come on, I would ask that question. Wouldn't you? I'd ask that question. Well, what's in it for me? After all this, what is it? What do you want? What do you want from me? Oh, well, listen, we'll just put you in charge. And Jephthah says, all right, I'll do it. And I got to give the man credit, because the next things that we read in this story is his, I think, incredibly wise and mature response to the people attacking Israel. He actually writes a letter, and he basically says, like, hey, respectfully, I'm paraphrasing here, this is a Josh Hersey paraphrase version. And he says, hey, respectfully, everything that you're upset about, really you shouldn't be upset about. I mean, actually, if you look at the situation, this is kind of what happened, and like, this is the reality of where we are, and like, I don't really know what you're, like what you're been all out of shape about, but like, this is the situation. Why don't we just call this whole thing off? This is the great warrior. Why don't we just call this whole thing off? He actually tries to deflect the battle. And then the Bible says that they were not having it. Like, yeah, no, we're coming to take our land. And I want you to notice something. This is so important. Some of you need to hear this. It's verses 28 and 29. But the king of Ammon paid no attention to Jephthah's message. And at that time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Listen to me, broken vessel. Listen to me, outcast. Listen to me, fighters. Listen to me. The Spirit of the Lord can use the wounded.
So good.
The Spirit of the Lord can use the outcast. In fact, historically, all throughout Scripture, that's who he tends to favor. He tends to find the ones that everybody else is overlooking. King David was the youngest brother out in the fields with the sheep. His father didn't even consider him worthy enough to come into the house when the king was being selected. Think about this. And he's one of the most iconic, talked about, admired, preached about characters in all of Scripture. God has a way of using broken vessels. And I know that because of your story and your history and your past and all the experiences of your life, that you feel like God could never use you. Because why would he want you? No one else does. No one else ever has. I've always been the outcast. I've always been the oddball. I've always been the one on the fringes. I've never been the one that was voted most popular, best smile, most likely to succeed. I've not been that person. I wasn't popular. I wasn't in the social crowd that had all the attention. I was the wounded outcast. No one wants me. Why would God? And I believe the voice of the Lord declares to you today that I do. So I would say to you, stop disqualifying yourself, because God hasn't done that. God will not disqualify you. So here's what happens, everybody. What happens is that the king of Ammon's like, not having it, let's fight about it. The Spirit of God fills this broken vessel like the Spirit of God tends to do. Jephthah does what Jephthah does. He goes to battle, and the Bible says, wipes them out. He wins, and he wins convincingly. He now is embraced by all these people. Everyone's excited. Everyone's thankful. You are the man. I can only imagine the way the pendulum must have swung for him, emotionally speaking, that I went from the ultimate outcast to the ultimate celebrated hero. He's probably feeling things he's never felt before in his entire life. He's probably at some sort of emotional high that he's never been at before. And then Jephthah, I think with the purest intentions, with all the right motives, in verse 30, made a promise. The Bible says, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. And he said, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will give to the Lord whatever comes out of my house to meet me when I return in triumph. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering to the Lord. And they go and they just win. And they got Jephthah on their shoulders. Woo! And everybody's pumped up and he's feeling good. And here he is trying to honor the Lord. Like, it was almost like he recognized his redemption. I've been redeemed. I'm back home. I'm with people, and I'm being celebrated by the very people that threw me out. God, I'll give you anything. So when I get back to my house, when I get back, the first thing that I see, I'll just sacrifice it before you. Jephthah goes home. You know the first thing that he sees? His only child, his daughter, running out of the house to greet him in victory. Dad, you're amazing. You did it. Woo! Now, I just want you to think about it for a second. First of all, if you're a parent, okay, you can understand the kind of unique love you have for a child. It's unlike anything else. It just is what it is. You can't fully understand it unless you understand it. I also want you to consider that this daughter has been with him for his whole story. The whole time. She was in Tob. She was part of the outcast. So she's been the ride and die for old Jephthah. Always been around. She came home with him when he was invited back to be who he was. And in his attempt and pure-hearted, I believe, motive to honor the Lord, he says, I'll do anything for you. I'll sacrifice whatever it is, God. Come on, I'm going to do it. And the first thing he sees is probably the most valuable asset he has. His daughter. Can I just show you a couple scriptures? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, that a man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath, watch this, must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. Ouch. In the book of James, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Like, keep your word. Y'all with me? And here is Jephthah in this moment where he's like, I've done something crazy. Because I promised something to the Lord, and I don't really know what to do now. And there's a lot of debate, by the way, and we're not going to get lost in this because, first of all, it's not relevant and time doesn't allow. But there's a lot of debate that did Jephthah actually sacrifice his daughter on an altar? There's people that believe, yes, he actually followed through with that. There is also some debate that maybe instead of a burnt offering, the sacrifice was that she was never to be married. The Bible says this is his only child, so his name will not live on. She would always have to live in isolation. She would not be able to enjoy like the normalcies of life that young ladies would love to have. Come on, right? So either way, it's an incredible sacrifice that Jephthah has to follow through on because he's made this crazy promise to the Lord. But here's the thing. What Jephthah didn't know was the Levitical law of his people. I'm going to take you to Leviticus, and I'm going to make a point that I hope lands well. In Leviticus chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, watch this, watch. This is giving the law to the people, like Jephthah, the law, the rules. And the Bible says, suppose you make a foolish vow of any kind, whether it's on its purpose is for good or for bad, when you realize its foolishness, you must admit your guilt. When you become aware of your guilt in any of these ways, you must confess your sin. Here's what I want you to hear me say. Jephthah could have withdrew his vow and said, I messed up. It was foolish. Yeah, the Bible says you should keep your word. But the Bible says, hey, listen, if you make like a stupid vow, probably shouldn't keep it. You should probably repent from it. Do something else. It was a mistake, and it was a bad idea. Anybody in this room, show of hands, made a mistake before? All right. Just wondering who I'm preaching to. And so listen, can we get to the meat of the sandwich today? I want to talk for a moment about the vow of the outcast. I want to talk to those of you that like, yeah, that's me, I'm the outcast. I was the one that never fit in. I was the one that never, you know, whatever. You fill in the blank. But because of your pain, you've made some crazy, foolish promises. You've said things like, I'll never trust a man again. I'll never get married again after what she did to me. I'll never connect to another church. I'll never ask God for anything else. I'll only trust and associate with people who look and think like me. You've said things like, after that failure, I'll never invest again. I'll never take those kinds of risks. I'll never trust people that I don't have a background with and a history with. And here's what happens is that there's motivations driven into the mindsets of the outcast that cause us to make promises. Listen to me carefully. I say this with grace, that are foolish. It's the vow of the outcast. I'll never let people in. I'll never be vulnerable. I'll never talk about that. Maybe it was because someone else broke your trust. Maybe it was because you had horrible male figures in your life, and it's caused you to think an entire thought about an entire type of people. Maybe it was because of a racial belief in your home growing up that's caused you to throw out an entire people group. And you've made vows and promises about who they are based on what you were taught that are foolish. Maybe because she broke your heart, you'll never put your heart in the hands of anyone else ever again. I'm talking to those that for some reason, your broken story, your outcast moments, your never fitting in things have caused you to make some promises that maybe we should repent from. I want to talk to you just for a couple of moments about what the vow of the outcast does. It does three things, I believe. It creates separation. It creates grief. It creates death. The vow of the outcast separates us from people. Never again. I'll never. I'll always. I'll this. And we make promises, and we make vows, and we draw lines and say, I'll never again, because of what's on the other side of that line. And it creates separation in our relationships that are valuable to us. It creates grief in our hearts, because we'll always grieve the pain that we're trying to avoid in the future. It'll always be the motivating factor of why the promise is held, because you'll always think about them. You'll always think about then. You'll always think about that. Never again. And always will I. You've made some bad promises. And quite frankly, it'll bring death to relational opportunities in your life. This poor young lady, whatever the outcome of her story was, it ended a family heritage. It probably killed her dreams. It killed the family name. It brought death. And there are some of you, listen to me, because, can I just preach? Is that okay? With grace. It's because of your pride. Yes. You've drawn hard lines, made vows because you were the outcast, and you are creating for the people around you separation, grief, and death. Quite frankly, you're creating those things for you. Because most oftentimes when we create that kind of a separation because of those kinds of promises, the only person in prison is us. We'd like to think it's men, marriage, investing, those people. We'd like to think it, but it isn't. It's you. It's a little heavy, but I believe it has the power to set some people free. I really do. And here's what I realized. Listen, can I just be what I feel like is very real? If you are the outcast and you've made the vow of the outcast, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that a 35-minute message is going to set you free, but I think it can start the process. I do. Now, I also believe that God can do things supernaturally, and God could do something in your chair right now that like you can't even explain. Like maybe all of a sudden you just get set free of a way of thinking and your mindset, and all of a sudden you are just a totally different person. I do believe God does those things. Amen, everybody. But I would suggest probably for most of us, this isn't going to be like, man, I heard a good sermon and I have undone every one of the vow of the outcast I've ever made in my life. I just don't know that that's going to happen. And so I would love to send you away with some things to reflect on. If this is for you, you need to be a note taker right now. You could be a note taker on your phone, on paper. You can take pictures of the screen behind me. But I want to send you away with some things to reflect on. I want you to take your time. I want you to ask yourself some questions. And here they are, just three. I tried to make it simple. And the first question is, Why did I make this vow? Why? Dig down to the root of it all. Like, where did the pain come from? Where did this begin? What makes me think the way that I think? Where did this start? Why did I make this vow? That's going to unearth some things that might not feel great. You might have to be alone because you might need to cry. You might have to process some things. Listen to me, this might be so deeply entrenched in you, you need some time with a professional Christian counselor. I'm just suggesting that you go get the help you need to unearth why did I make this vow? Number two, what has my vow kept me from? Because it's creating limitations for you. It is. It's blocking you from some things. It could be opportunities. It could be relationships. It could be all of the above. But it's blocking you from some things. What has my vow kept me from? It could be from joy. It could be from freedom. It could be from forgiveness. I mean, come on, right? It could be that I will never talk to them again until they apologize to me. What is it keeping you from? Ask yourself that question. Number three, who has my vow impacted? Who? Can I say it this way? What collateral damage am I creating because of the promises I made? Who else is suffering because of what I said I'd never or always do? Because relationships are like webs, they're like nets, they spread and they connect. And there are some of you, I just feel like maybe this is right, but there are some of you that your grandchildren need you to be the bigger person and apologize to your kid. Maybe you just need to be the one that says, fine. There are 10 pieces of pie in this pie. And I feel like I'm only responsible for 2 pieces, so I'll take 100% responsibility of the 80% or the 100% of the 20% I'm responsible for. Does that make sense? I'm not a good math student. You can tell right now. Help me, Jesus. Thank you. But there are some of you that because you only ate 2 pieces of the proverbial pie, lines are drawn. Look, just own the fact that you ate all of 2 of them. All of it. I'm not saying apologize for everything, but apologize for your part. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to help you. Like, you don't need another little sermon. Boy, that was good. I hope you have something that's like, man, this can heal me. This can work in me. Why did I make this vow? What has my vow kept me from? Who has my vow impacted? It's the vow of the outcast. And here's what the outcast needs to hear the voice of the Lord say. God uses broken vessels. God wants to use you. I'm going to close with this verse. I love it. I think it's appropriate for today. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Very popular passage of scripture, but the Bible says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? How? By changing the way you think. Listen to me, outcast. You need to rewire your brain in some ways. You need to be refreshed by the power of God to change how you think. Because you've always thought this way. You've always had the defenses. You've always had the lines in the sand. You've always been the fighter. You've always stood your ground. And the Spirit of God saying, watch what a humble heart can do. Watch what happens when I change how you think about this situation. Watch what happens to you when I'll show you what I want you to learn in a positive way from this. Listen to me. I believe that God wants to do for you, outcast, what God did for Jephthah. Redeem you. Because he was with a bunch of worthless misfits. And God said, I'll bring you back. Watch what I can do when I get you around the right people. Watch what I'll do. I'm going to change the way you think. Then it goes on to say, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. I just want to give people in this room the opportunity to just sit in this moment for just a second. Just a moment. Because in this room, without a doubt in my mind, are some outcasts. It's how you've always seen yourself. It's how you've always felt. Maybe you feel like you're an outcast this morning because you're not a Christian and you're in a room that you assume is full of them. Maybe you're not a churchgoer. For whatever the reason this morning, you've identified yourself the outcast. I want to remind you, outcast, that God uses broken vessels. And I believe with all my heart that God just wants to show you that, hey, you're welcome here. Hey, I'm a redeemer. Hey, I'll change the way you think. I'll change your story. Just come close to me. And my heart, everybody, is that people who are far from God this morning would get very, very close to him right now in this moment. For some of you, that means, man, I just need to process, pray, and heal. For others of you, it's I need to start a relationship with Jesus for the first time. For some of you, I just need to reconnect to the heart of God. I've been too far, too long. Wherever you are, whoever you are, this is your moment. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Church, you know how we do it. I ask everybody to say it out loud, everybody. But some of you are going to be saying it for this moment. Some of you are going to be saying it for the very first time. And this is you getting near the heart of God. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Church, would you do me a favor and put your hands together? Hey, congratulations to those who may have said that prayer. Let's stand together this morning. I want to point your attention to one thing. One thing. Austin mentioned this at the earlier part of the service when the mic was failing to work for him. This is a connection card. Some of you are holding this in your hand. Some of you made a decision of life change today. And if you did, just do me, Church on the Rock. It's our greatest desire to connect with you and just help you in this journey of faith. Others of you, this is useless because you're so tech savvy. And so we've just created a brand new method now where you can just text, hey, I've made a decision. And all you'll simply do is you'll text reborn to the number 97,000. And what that does for us is help us to connect to you. Because listen to me carefully, whether you believe it or not, none of us can make it in this journey of faith alone. We are designed by God to be in relationship. It's why the church exists. And we're inviting you into a place, listen to me carefully, regardless of your story, around a bunch of people who are imperfect, broken vessels that love God and want to help you. That's who we are here. Amen, everybody? And so if that's you, I want to ask you to take that next step. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to just finish our day with a quick song. We do have prayer partners down front. You can receive prayer. Come on, I'm going to go to God in prayer. Father, we worship you and praise you. Thank you for this day. I pray for every broken vessel, Lord God, that you would do what only you can do. Thank you, Father, that you use broken vessels. And I pray for the outcast this morning that you would do a redeeming, healing work in their lives. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, let's sing together. Come on.